Militarily Speaking, Episode 51, Institute for Veterans and Military Families, IVMF, parenthetically.
Yes. This episode, we talk with two guests, Mike Bianchi, Senior Director of Education and Career Training, and Dwayne Murray, Deputy Director of the Office of Veteran and Military Affairs at Syracuse University. Our distinguished guests both have a military background.
Welcome to Militarily Speaking, brought to you by Armed Forces Bank. This is Tom McClain and Jody Vickery. I'm the Regional Military Executive for Armed Forces Bank, and Jody is the Executive Vice President and Director of Military Consumer Lending. So now we segue into introducing these awesome guys.
Gracefully, yes. There's a lot of important things to tell you about them. This is all not new information to Mike and Dwayne, but so bear with us for just a second. I want to tell our audience just a little bit about you both. Mike Bianchi is the Senior Director, Education and Career Training for the Daniello Institute for Veterans and Military Families, IVMF. Mike served in the U.S. Army for 28 years. Thank you so much for your service. Retiring in 2015. During his career, he made numerous worldwide deployments, including assignments as Recruiting and Operations Officer and Professor of Military Science, Army ROTC at Syracuse University. Mike joined the IVMF team in 2015 as the National Program Director for the DoD SkillBridge Program, Onward to Opportunity. As Onward to Opportunity senior team member, he oversees program delivery on 19 military installations and online training for distance learners. Onward to Opportunity trains over 10,000 participants yearly on technical and soft skills, serving as a gateway to employment in over 50 different in-demand career fields. He's a 1994 graduate from the Southern Illinois University and has a Master of Business Administration from Webster University.
Wow.
A little bit about Mike. Yeah.
I know.
I'm going to feel wholly inadequate by the time I get to the bottom of both of these.
I know. Do you want to add anything that's changed in the last 24 hours for yourself or not?
Well, we're getting a fall spring in upstate New York. We can add that. It's 60 degrees today.
Wow. But other than that,
we kind of are too.
We're at like 75 here.
Which and it's going to be 19 tomorrow, which is sort of a bummer.
We do drop back to 29 tomorrow. But I'm going to take advantage of today. So that's what's changed in the last 24 hours.
But when you guys get like 18 to 24 inches up there, that's like two for us here. Because you deal with it.
They still go to work, go to school. Here we'd be shut down for a month and a half. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Dwayne.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Dwayne Murray. Dwayne is a native New Yorker from White Plains, New York.
And a Washington Commanders fan.
This thing we don't speak of. He enlisted in the Army out of Syracuse Recruiting Battalion immediately after graduating from Syracuse University. Prior to returning to Syracuse University, Dwayne spent 25 years on active duty in the United States Army. Also, thank you for your service, both as an enlisted soldier and officer, and he retired as a lieutenant colonel in 2022. He served in the 1st Infantry Division, 7th Infantry Division, 18th Airborne Corps, 1st Corps, U.S. Army South, U.S. Army Recruiting Command, USAREC, U.S. Cyber Command, U.S. Army Cadet Command, and the National Security Agency, or NSA. He served in a lot of places.
That's a lot of numbers you threw out there, too.
It is. It's all very impressive, actually, if you know where all those places are. Dwayne's command experience includes 293rd Signal Company, Republic of Korea, 1st Corps Signal Detachment, JBLM Washington, and the Ordnance Training Detachment, Fort Gordon, Georgia. He has deployed to Bosnia-Herzegovina, Iraq, and Afghanistan. My husband was in Kosovo. We'll have to compare dates and times, yes?
Absolutely.
And see if they were overlapping at all. Dwayne is a graduate of Syracuse University with degrees in sociology and information studies. He earned a master's degree in management from the University of Phoenix and a graduate certification in organizational change in higher education and a master's in higher education administration, both from the University of Louisville. I am wholly inadequate. This much we have established.
Tom McClain lives in Kansas City.
Tom McClain.
Okay.
Yeah, comes to work every day. Welcome, Mike and Dwayne, to our podcast. It is an honor to have you both on our show. Obviously, distinguished guests, that goes without saying. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you bet. We always like to allow our guest a little bit of time, just right at the top, to just share a little bit about your organization. And maybe very early on, it'd be good to distinguish between the two different offices that you both represent so that we have good clarity around that for our audience as well.
Sure, great. What I think we could do, Duane, is we both work for Syracuse University, so I think we start there. But I think as we move down, I think it's appropriate, Duane, for to really talk about Duane's work over at the OVMA, and then I'll come in afterwards and talk about the Daniello Institute.
Yeah, sounds good, Mike. As Mike said, first of all, we both work for Syracuse University, which is a fantastic, awesome, wonderful institution to be a part of, right? And we have a long story history of our connection to veterans and the military connected students. It actually goes back in my recent research to 2003. I know we'll talk about some history. We've talked about some history before in terms of World War II and the Battle of the Bulge and how the end of World War II and the creation of the GI Bill really changed the dynamic for Syracuse University. But back in 1903, this first student veteran graduated from Syracuse University, a gentleman by the name of William Herbert Johnson. And he graduated in 1903 from our law school. He's a Syracuse native and went to Boston as an undergraduate student, but he's a Spanish-American War veteran. And so I think that's a very important distinction that we hold near and dear to us, that we've been on this mission connected with veterans and educating veterans for a very, very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
As we get to the mission of the Office of Veteran and Military Affairs, our you know, quite honestly, our role is to take student veterans through the process or through the life cycle of being a Syracuse University student. So from a moment of interest, so recruiting to admissions, enrollment, matriculation, student success, which we have offices that help in all these spaces to support them, job placement. And then, you know, if they're so inclined, we create opportunities for our alumni to bring back their time, talents, and their treasure to the university to talk about how great of an opportunity they've had here and experience they've had here. So that's kind of the Office of Veteran and Military Affairs in a nutshell. You know, our military connected students, that population includes veterans who have served, like myself and Mike, our ROTC, our fantastic Army and Air Force ROTCs, which have been here for quite a long time as well, some of the first in the country, to our reservists and National Guards, our National Guardsmen who are currently serving, but maybe on a part-time basis, and our dependents. You know, the one cool thing about that I get to share at Syracuse University, and actually Mike gets to share it too, is both of our children are students here right now.
Very nice.
That's legacy, right?
That's legacy. Yeah. You know, okay. We both have children here, and my wife is also an alum and a veteran and a retiree from our military as well, from our Army. So, you know, you've got two people here who not only work at the university, but believe in the product so much that we want our families to share in this experience. That said, I can hand it over to you, Mike.
Thanks so much, Duane. And as we segue into the IVMF, I'll just say that my son was stationed in Hawaii when he received his scholarship to come to Syracuse with ROTC. And everybody was shocked that he was coming back to Syracuse instead of staying in Hawaii to do that green to gold. So
it's a climate change.
Yeah right. And he asked himself why when he's going. But, you know, to Duane's point, you know, Syracuse is, you know, one of the number one schools for veterans in the country. And it's really through the great work of the OVMA that is drawing that talent back to Syracuse and for all the reasons that he mentioned. So for myself, I work over at the Institute for Veteran and Military Families. And when I say over, I mean on the other side of the hall. We share a building at the National Veterans Resource Center. You can see the beautiful campus behind Duane. Well, I know the viewers can't see it, but the two hosts can see it.
We can see it. We thought it was a fake background, but it's real.
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, the university has invested in what we call the National Veterans Resource Center. So I would encourage all and any who are in the area to come visit. But the Institute was founded in 2011 by our executive director and vice chancellor for Syracuse University, Dr. Mike Haney. And it has really evolved since then to, you know, we have over 100 staff members, and we deliver, you know, world-class programs, research, entrepreneurship training, and collective impact model for community service delivery. Yeah. So, you know, in a nutshell, you know, what is housed in that building all really underpins Syracuse University's commitment to making it one of the number one places for veterans. And, you know, we can talk a bit more about the Institute as we go down in the questions and talk about the programs and services, but that's the overview of the program or of the Institute. And it's always a pleasure to work with the OVMA folks.
I see. I've got a little history on the organization too, right? So Chase helped you out back there too in 2011?
Sure. In 2011, our founding partner, JP Morgan Chase, worked with the executive director, Dr. Mike Haney, to invest in an information technology program called the Veterans Career Training Program, VCTP, which was well known. It was established to help train and skill service members and family members in information technology opportunities. Now, prior to that, but before the establishment of the actual Institute, Dr. Haney actually was started with entrepreneurship training. So in 2007, they began running what they call Entrepreneurship Boot Camp for Veteran program there at Syracuse University. And we'll talk a bit about that as we go into the entrepreneurship programs.
And to unpack all these programs, because I've got like 38 pages of all these different programs that they do that, I mean, we're not going to have enough time to cover them all, but you're hitting some great ones that I want, that we'll talk about later in this episode. But let's jump right into the programs, because you kind of teed that up, Mike, that we're going to talk about some of the wonderful programs. And we'll say the website, ivmf.syracuse.edu. We'll say that a few times so we make sure the plethora of resources that are outside on your website, our listeners can go out there whenever they want, because there's a lot out there. So talk about some of the programs that you want to highlight, Mike.
Sure. Thanks. And yeah, and again, at ivmf.syracuse.edu, just thought I'd throw it in there as well. It is all there, and it is comprehensive, and there's, you know, so many different things that we really do to impact the community. It's worth visiting. And I do want to, you know, we'll tie it all in at the end of really what the university is doing as well and some of their programs to reach the military community. But really, everything that we do is driven by the research and policy and analytics of the Institute. So at the Institute, there is a powerful research department that continues. There's actually a digital library on there. And again, I would encourage listeners to take a look at that digital library. If you have questions when it comes to entrepreneurship, employment, education for veterans, military spouses, dependents, this is a great one-stop location for that research. I can tell you that as I was learning the job that I'm in now and I was looking for research, it always took me back to the IVMF. And it always took, and as you go around the country and you meet different organizations and partners, we're well established in our research and policy, and that digital library is a great resource for anyone who is interested in that. And so all the programs that we do are really, you know, born in that research. You know, what's driving, what is the need? What are we trying to solve? What's the problem we're trying to solve? And how are we committing to facilitating the employment for the military community? So, you know, for myself, I'll go, you know, I work with the career preparation and training portfolio. So I'll quickly talk about the entrepreneurship, and we can always make introductions to the directors there as well. But at the IVMF, as I mentioned, from the earliest days of 2007, it has been committed to really supporting veterans and their families when they navigate the entrepreneurship journey. They've been doing it now since 2007, and they've served well over 100,000 veterans. And they really provide from the full spectrum of entrepreneurship success within those programs. And there is a significant number of programs aside from the EBV, but it goes from right from ideation to those who are successful veteran-owned business owners. So it could be whether it's looking for capital, how to raise capital, how to go from ideation to actually establishment, mentorship. So there's a significant number of events that they do each year. You know, highlighting one is the Veteran Women Igniting the Spirit of Entrepreneurship. That's called VWISE, and that is hosted in different countries or different, excuse me, cities around the country each year for those female veterans and military spouses who are interested in starting their own business. So that's just an example of what the entrepreneurship portfolio does. And then, of course, we have the community services aspect of what we do. And that is really a coordinated care network where we serve as the thought leader, working in these different communities, bringing these resources together, vetted resources of partners and dedicated providers who are going to serve the unique needs of those that enter into the, whether it's housing, education, employment, you know, religious needs, whatever it may be. You know, there is each of these communities, there is it's a coordinated care effort so that it's no wrong door. So as you enter into an America Serves network, you will be served and ensured that you are taken care of and your needs are met. And again, for us, the career preparation and training portfolio, Onward to Opportunity, we have been around since 2015. We are at now 18 different military installations and serving over 70 satellite installations, as well as doing that online. And what we do online and at those installations is we provide employability skills training, access to industry recognized credentials and curriculum, and connections to employment services, really to ensure the successful navigation to a meaningful career post-service. We serve not just those that are transitioning out of the military, but we also serve veterans, members of the National Guard and Reserve, and spouses of each of those populations. So in a nutshell, if you can say that's it.
I know. Yeah. That's a very full nutshell.
You know, in 2014, so Syracuse University was named the best place for veterans. Were you tagged with that a decade ago and you still have that tag?
So I'm going to let Dwayne answer that one. I'm going to say a decade ago because I was the professor of military science at the time, 10 years ago. And I would say that I'll just share still a little bit of, you know, Dwayne's thunder. As Chancellor Severud was coming on board as the new chancellor, he made one of his core strategies to become the best place for veterans. And it was in 2014 at that time, it shocked those that were sitting there. And he has, you know, really made true on that promise. So Dwayne, you can tell the audience when we started to get those titles, but we certainly have since 2014. It's night and day, really, on what it means to be a military connected on the campus.
Right? Yeah, to Mike's point, you know, to have someone so senior in your organization really put a mandate on the organization to say, we will be the best place for veterans, or that we'll be the best in this competitive environment, really says a lot about the commitment. But what he was able to do was really look back at the research and look back at some of the things and how we've been tied historically to the veteran, to educating veterans and the embetterment of their situation. We have been consistently one of the top programs in terms of the best place for veterans survey, which is provided by, I think, the Military Times. The space has definitely changed and it's important to note that we are still, as Mike said, the national exemplar in terms of research and just where we're taking the idea of belonging and connecting with veterans. And so what my office gets to benefit from is, you know, our own in-house research institute, essentially, where we get to look at things and potentially implement some things that other institutions are concerned about and that we're concerned about as well. So it's a yin and yang. We get to feed some information about what's going on with our student veterans and where they want to go and what their interests may be, especially when you talk about workforce development. I mean, we our office has a much longer pipeline in terms of their development,
right?
Because folks are here to go to our population, our student population is focused on earning their degrees vis-a-vis a workforce development and upskilling certificate. And so the turnaround rate from a veteran going into an IBMF program and a degree seeking program is a lot longer, right? But we get the best of both worlds in that scenario. And so it's interesting that Mike says we're right across the hall because we get to really share and collaborate a lot. But to your point about best place for veterans, we are consistently in that space right now, and we are definitely consistently nationally recognized as best place for veterans, a venue, a location, a destination for veterans. And it's going to get even better as we continue to
I was going to say that if the two of you are involved in this, you're never going to lose that top spot. Yes. That's for sure. You can't give away that throne.
So I didn't, it wasn't in my bio because Dwayne hasn't been in my class, so he doesn't know he needs to shorten his change of command bio up for the civilian side.
Mike, I heard it and I was like, whoa, that's way too long. So
I got it all out right, though.
Noted.
Oh, it was 5 years. Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we both have recruiting experience as well. So.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. I want to build on the question that Tom just asked about the history of the organization a little bit and maybe change it up a little from where we were going to go originally. So you've talked about the storied history, the storied past, and it's clear that you've received recognition and accolades for that. And I think you'll continue to do so. No question about that. But feel free to fill in any gaps about that history for sure. But what is the process that you are going through to continue to evolve and meet the needs of veterans present day, right? So that history didn't just happen. So you didn't just become a place, a destination for veterans and stagnate, right? You've continued over decades to evolve and meet the needs as they've changed. And I've no doubt that you're going to continue to do that. So maybe a little bit of a different spin than where I might have gone originally, but I'd welcome either of your thoughts on that.
Sure. Yeah. So I think that our strategic planning and really looking at what student veterans or what veterans need, and that really drives our requirements. What do they need? What I'll say is the veteran that is coming out of our military now is very different than the veteran that has come out of our military 5 years ago and definitely 10 years ago. Yep. When you think about the multiple deployments that a veteran may have endured prior to their separation from service since 9/11, that population is changing because the mission has changed. Mm-hmm. Our military mission has changed. Not to make this a political conversation, but our adversary has changed, right? And so if the way we have to train and prepare our soldiers for, and I say soldiers, I apologize by saying soldiers, I'm a soldier. But the way that our service members have had to prepare for conflict has changed. And so that changes the type of veteran that you get now. Mm-hmm. And that changes what they need when they come out. The change is what, you know, we're a highly, highly technical, highly, highly technical force now, very reliant on technology. I don't know that was the military that I went into, even though I had a technical skill set joining the military. And so that means that our students are different too as a result. It's not a leap to say that what our student veterans need now are different than what I needed, what Mike needed, what my boss needed, who served for 33 years in the military, our executive director, Ron Novak, what he needed coming out of the military. And so I think that as we look at our strategic plan, we always have the student at heart in terms of what the student veteran needs, what we've been able to assess, and what leaders across the space may need in terms of what change of mission, where are they going to next. So I think that's how we try to keep our competitive edge as an institution, right? And that's how, you know, in terms of catering to our veterans, I think our student veterans, I think that's part of the secret sauce. What do you think, Mike?
I agree with everything for Syracuse University and the work that they're doing at OVMA, you know, for IVMF. You know, we look at, you know, almost 15 years now since being founded, really being thought leaders in the space, right? So we're using our research and our relationships in the veteran space the research being the largest part of it, but really to help inform our program delivery so that we remain relevant, we remain on top of what the veterans need and what the workforce needs, right? So we have to stay on top of the workforce needs, employer needs, the changing aspects of employment. But I think additionally to not just, you know, the program impact that our research has, but also informing policy. So the IVMF and Syracuse University being thought leaders in the space on policy that is being written in Washington on how best to fund and deliver these programs to the military community.
I appreciate that.
So what I would say to Mike's comment is you have a two-pronged approach, right? You have, or even three-pronged approach, right? Because if you would permit me, Mike, I think Mike is saying being thought leaders in the space, informing policy, finding out what really, really trying to meet the needs of employers, but also, you know, being additive from our perspective, from the OVMA's perspective, being student focused and student centered about being mindful about where our student veterans, where they're coming from. And again, as Mike says, informing where they're trying to inform where they're going as well. So I think it's a two-pronged approach.
Makes sense. I appreciate that.
We've been fortunate at Armed Forces Bank to be part of the Department of the Army's Training with Industry program. And you talk about what the needs are today versus what they were two and a half or a quarter of a century ago. And, you know, the topics today are cybersecurity and fraud and IT and accounting, just finance needs, moving money, that type of thing, that it's totally different today. But we run them through a nine-month program with us, and we love the program. Plus, we're now getting more people involved throughout the course of the year to educate currently employed by the military and those that are looking to even transition out of the military in a couple of years, but give them the tools, the skill sets, the knowledge of what it's like to be in a world like this. And it is crazy. We have a PAYS partnership with the Department of the Army. We're part of the Military Spouse Employment Partnership. You know, we have a lot of good things that I'm learning about your two organizations as a subset of Syracuse University, but I think we're all doing good work out there, and it especially for our veterans. So it's kind of cool to share best practices with what you're doing. We can learn a lot from you as well. I think I'm up, right? So talk about your... So one of the questions,
keep you on track.
One of the questions was about your military experience, right? Jody did a great job getting every word right, talking about your history with the military. But how did that lead you to what you're doing today? Because you probably had a lot of different career paths you could have taken, but why are you here? It's a profound question.
Well, I'll jump
why
in.
Why are any of us here, Tom?
Yeah, why are any of us here, right? We can get right. Some philosophy going. Well, for myself, you know, as we know and how we treat our learners, and I know how OVMA treats theirs, is every experience is unique. And it's pretty amazing that, you know, if there's 150,000 people who leave the service this year, you know, there's 150,000 different stories and journeys, and they're all pretty amazing. And I don't say that lightly. I mean it. And I use that often. That, you know, talking about that aspect of military service when you are in the recruiting world and talking about the value of being military, you know, having military service. So for myself, I was, as I mentioned, I was the professor of military science, which means that I led the ROTC, the Army ROTC there at Syracuse University. So I was responsible for the development and the leadership development of the future leaders in the United States Army. And, you know, it was, to me, a purposeful work. It was meaningful work. It was impactful work. It was something that you could say, wow, I'm making a difference. I'm making a difference, not even individually in lives, but down the road where I'll never see it. But how you infuse leadership into someone who is listening and learning will have a ripple effect in years beyond. And so when I heard about the opportunity from, you know, Dr. Haney, what they were building, and I don't want to say opportunity too many times, but it just happens that our program is Onward to Opportunity. In fact, I approached him and I told him that I had interest in the program. It was very much just starting. And he said, okay, well, here's what it is. And he said, but I don't think that I think we're ready to start this basically now. And he said, but you're not retiring until next year. And I said, well, I'm going to go back and I'm going to put my retirement paperwork in now because I feel like the train is leaving the station and I don't want to be on the caboose. And that's how I felt about IVMF was doing. And I mentioned the work as the professor of military science because it's the same type of work here, right? We're enrolling over 10,000 learners into Onward to Opportunity each year. And all of our interactions with learners in the program that we build and design and how we deliver really, I put it like this to the team a few years ago. I said there was a time in my life when I had people's lives in my hands. And now there's a time where I have livelihoods. And that's equally, it is equally impactful, right? I mean, it's a different way of thinking about it, but you know, livelihoods and being able to sustain your family is equally powerful. And so for me, it was an easy jump, not just physically across the quad to a new building, but conceptually in what the IBMF was doing. And I apologize for probably making that too long of an answer.
No, you did great. You want to add something to your side of the story, Dwayne?
I'll try to be short. But, you know, for me, the connection and the being in this work is an intersectionality of very, very personal connection to Syracuse University. I actually grew up about 4 hours from here, and I got a letter of rejection from Syracuse University on my birthday.
On your birthday?
He doesn't remember it or anything either, does he?
Right. I don't remember it anything. I got a letter of rejection from Syracuse University on my birthday. And
that got you fired up, didn't it?
It got me fired up. Got me fired up. But what I will say is I got a chance to come up here as a first-generation college student. I was not a veteran or military-connected student. I will say that I had some struggles here as a student initially, but I found a home and I found a sense of belonging. And I was very active on campus, and that kind of kept me going. So as a student athlete and involved in student government and involved in so many different things on campus, I had a chance to study overseas for a semester. I got a lot of exposure and a lot of different experiences. And so making the transition and the decision to join the military, Syracuse University prepared me for that, is what I will say. The next thing that I will say is very similar to what Mike said, is the very last opportunity I had to serve in the military, I had the opportunity to be a part of an Army ROTC program and be a professor of military science, as we talked before this, at Alabama A&M, which is in Huntsville, Alabama. And that formed and shaped a desire to kind of, you know, want to be in higher education, but also want to continue that idea of selfless service, of servant leadership. And again, very similar to Mike, when an opportunity was presented to me by Vice Chancellor Haney and our executive director, Ron Novak, I basically jumped on it. I jumped on it and I haven't looked back. And again, it's the intersection of a personal connection. I walked these different places here a million different times as an undergraduate student, as a snot-nosed 18 to 22 year old undergraduate student here, and I have fond memories and some not so fond memories of being on campus. But I understand what students, the spaces that students have walked in for so long. And it was an opportunity to just be connected, bonded to this again. And it's a full circle moment to be a first generation college student who showed up on campus sight unseen with my clothes and 3 trash bags to turn around and have my name on the door, my name on a door here and be working here at this institution.
That's a cool story.
So
that is very cool. And what is it about college kids that travel in trash bags? My son does the same thing.
Yeah. You know, they're expedient. They're fast, right?
Here's this 2 a.m. infomercial.
This is the rationale of the trash bag traveler.
No folding required. Just grab and go.
Plop and drop.
This much is true. Yes. Yeah. I'm expecting 2 trash bags in 2 weeks for mom laundry duty.
Since we're going off script, this is the next question. I'm going to talk about research. We're going to go the research arm, okay? Because we think it's fascinating. So it'd be easy to get lost in all those white papers, all that information you have, because we call them quant jocks too in the credit department or the accounting field. Quant jocks.
Is that what we call them here?
So I don't know what
research. I've not heard that term ever in the history of.
Well, that's why I'm here. Yeah, okay. We also learned about glasses that can actually connect to it.
Yes, the 007 glasses we won't speak of.
So how does your team, this may be for Mike, but how does your team take that research and make sure you translate what you learn to things that are practically applicable in the lives of veterans and military families? Because there is a there's a lot of something going on there where there's a lot of information there. But, I mean, you have to parse through it and find out facts or what's relevant today. Because we Jody brought that up earlier about to go more than 100 years and get to where you are today. What's the research tell you?
Well, the hard part is, you know, there is so much, right? And and all of it is, but it is time bound. And when we started to first deliver our employment skills training, you know, we talked about the workforce of the future. And I'm talking back in 2015, 2016, where we said, will your job be here in 20 years? It was one of our slides. You know, and we've all experienced in our 2 years of house arrest that, you know, it expedited. And our slide now is, and it's, that's not a political statement. That's just a tongue-in-cheek statement. So I'm not crying over those 2 years, but I'm laughing about them.
That's okay. I was there with my children. We can call it house arrest.
Yeah. It's funny. I was actually locked up in my house longer than my first enlistment. So, but back to the point is, you know, the research, you know, we are now expedited in everything that we're doing. So it is no longer now, will your job be here in 10 years? Or what are you doing to remain relevant? It's now using that research to stay relevant and using it on a continuing basis, right? So we have a third party validation. We're the only SkillBridge program that really has a third party validation about the impact of our interventions. And so we're able to talk about what we do. And I think this goes to one of your questions towards the end. You know, we have a tough model in Onward to Opportunity. We do not charge any of our participants for enrolling in our program. And so, you know, when we talk about the research, you know, we talk about how do we make that research a reality for delivering meaningful content, but also working with and attracting employer partners, as well as philanthropic community to allow us to continue to do this work. So we're able to leverage some of that research to make sure that we're continuing, not just in our career preparation and training, but it also, as I mentioned earlier, informs our policy discussions, you know, on how we're working with different organizations to inform policy decisions that are being made down in DC. But I think, you know, having the research, I'm going to infuse, you know, part of the answer is, you know, for those that are in this audience should understand the Clausewitzian stool from Clausewitz, right? So there is the three-legged stool.
Yep.
And if you don't have a third leg, you're going to fall down. And I think what uniquely positions Syracuse University and the Institute with the research is we have that stool with the seat being meaningful employment. What does that mean today? What is the workplace telling us? What is the workforce development telling us? They're telling us that higher education alone is not enough to get you a job. We see that in the news articles. We see that in what employers are saying. We also know that just coming out of the service, being a veteran alone is not enough. So that's the second leg of the stool. So you have, you know, the first leg is higher education. If you have that piece, that's fantastic. Now, the second leg being the skills and experience that you have gained inside the service, the soft skills, the teamwork, collaboration, innovation, you know, you name them. We have all those out there. And what we do in our program and others like us, we refine that experience and help you shape and communicate that experience in a way that is translatable in the civilian workforce. And then the third leg of the stool is the credentialing, right? So we know that credentialing alone is not going to get you the job. Your experience as a veteran is not going to get you a job. The piece of higher education is not going to get you a job. So we're transitioning into a lifelong learning model for the workforce. I wouldn't say we're transitioning. It's been around for decades, but it's becoming a more imperative now for everyone to adopt a lifelong learning model if they want to remain relevant and employed. And it really involves those three legs of the stool. It involves your experience. It involves a credential. And it also, like what Onward to Opportunity will give you, and it involves higher education, what Syracuse University can give you. And I'll use that as one last, I know we were going to talk about it, but that education piece, You know, the College of Professional Studies there at Syracuse University is offering online degrees for those members of the are in the service, right? That they're offering it at the tuition assistance rate. So that's $250 a credit hour, which is significantly reduced from what it costs for a credit hour at Syracuse University. And, you know, a secret that we've already talked about that I have, you know, my son's at the school. He used that while he was in Hawaii to get his associate's degree and then transition to Syracuse University. So what I guess what I'm saying is, you know, combining those three with an institute and a university like Syracuse that's offering tuition assistance rate and discounted rates for spouses and DOD employees to enter into their online curriculum, you now have the third leg of the stool, that higher education. And all that is going to lead to meaningful employment. And to cap it all off with the beginning question about research, it's all driven by research.
Oh, it just went full circle, didn't
it? I know. Well done. Well done. Well, and so I kind of want to bring that full circle maybe back around to you, Duane, too. And so we talked, you talked at the beginning of this about the various pieces and the stages you help people through as they come to Syracuse University, and transition was part of that journey as well that you help folks through. So how do you dovetail with what we just heard from Mike to help in that transition process? So, you know, as they come to you, whether that's transitioning out of service and into higher education, or when they get there and they've completed their work at Syracuse and they're transitioning into the workforce, how do you partner with what he's doing at IVMF and the OVMA? How are you working together to the good of the whole there?
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of being into that spoke that talks about education, so we help our student veterans transition here safe and sound. And so we know we want our student veterans to feel a sense of purpose and resilience. This is a new space for a veteran. They arrive here and they may have the confidence and the courage, but how do you connect them to the resources that are available on campus? One thing that we know about our veterans is they may have issues asking for help. They may have a feeling of a loss of sense of belonging. What we know about the military is it's a very hard or very strongly identifiable culture, right? It has a very strong sense of identity, our military does. Just think about all the units that you listed. That was way too long in my bio, right? I'll fix that. I'm the newbie on the retirement block, so yeah, I got to fix that. And so we want to help them feel a sense of belonging. We want to break down any barriers that impede them from being a part of the institution, of the university, right? And so we provide those opportunities. We connect them with tutoring. We connect them, you know, something simple like a student veteran, most likely, just to Mike's point, and of his son and my son as well. Both of our children arrived here as transfer students. Now, if I heard you correctly, Mike, your son has an associate's degree. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Right. So does mine. So what that means, and just imagine, now his son is a veteran, my son is a dependent, but they came here as transfer students, which means they only have 2 years to figure this out before, right. You know, they go off into the wild blue yonder.
Before
so it's
really adulting. Yes.
Right. Before they start really adulting and they're collectively off the Bianchi and Murray support plan. Ideally. Right.
Yes. That's the goal.
But so we have to get them to a place where if you were here for the first 2 years, you had some time to figure it out. You had time to do an internship. You had time to, you know, pick a major, change a major. You don't have a lot of time. Yeah, a couple of times. You know, you don't have a lot of time to do that. And so what we find out is our student veterans are actually, most of them are actually pretty focused. But, you know, we have to help them navigate the space in terms of, you know, we don't have a lot of time to help you connect to resources and tutoring. You don't have a semester to waste. And so we want you to take these opportunities. We want to break down any barriers that prevent you from getting into the space and experiencing being a student, but also getting what you need to walk away with. So we also our office also has an office of Veteran Career Services. And so we do immersion trips and we sponsor career networking nights. We recently sponsored our director in that department recently sponsored an etiquette dinner. And so these are all one-off opportunities that our veterans get exposed to, our student veterans get exposed to while they're on campus. And again, in a very condensed time frame, 2.5, maybe 3 years at best, that they have on campus to really figure these things out and really be in a space where they feel comfortable being on campus and transitioning on campus. They have unique challenges. You know, they have a family, you know, some veterans have a family, right?
Yep.
And so how do you create when I was coming up, internships, you could get an internship, but it's going to cost you because they're not going to pay you.
Yes.
And so ideally the best experiences actually used to fit in that space. You know, the privilege was to intern with this fantastic company. And so we have an internship award that would supplement the idea that, yeah, take that great internship opportunity that in this day and age, like we said, different student, almost seems mandatory that you have an internship experience, to Mike's point about what type of experiences make you differentiate you from what's happening now. And so here's an internship award that'll help literally sustain you, right, while you take that opportunity. So our office has a bunch of different menu of options and collaborations across campus to help with resilience and student success and belonging. And then, like I said, the no joke career placement and moving on and just really keeping you connected to the university after the fact.
Well, you've both been very generous with your time, but at the risk of overstaying your welcome, I do want to give you the opportunity if there are things or programs we haven't thought to ask you about or that we've maybe glossed over and we shouldn't have because we didn't know better. Are there things that you'd want to highlight today as we wind down our podcast?
I got to get Dwayne here because mentioned he was going to say we're going to get into the GI Bill and all that stuff. Oh. I feel badly about that. But in the same vein, you said you were a student athlete. What sport?
Oh, yes.
I ran track.
Oh.
This is not something Tom or I do.
Was that in your bio too?
I did not put that in the bio.
Because I got to add that I was a rugby player in there, I think.
Football without the pads.
I definitely got schwacked.
Yeah, I ran track, and my wife, when she did ROTC here, she was a nursing student, which is totally difficult. She's a nursing student and a cheerleader. So she did ROTC, nursing, and cheerleading.
Yep.
That's the three-legged stool right there.
That's three-legged stool.
Well done.
And I'm winning. And for the record, I'm winning every day because I definitely outpunted my coverage. I've gotten awesome. That's how I'll end my comment. Thank you, Mike. The one thing I wanted to say is I got an awesome wife that is far surpasses the awesomeness that I possess and the excitement I have for this organization.
For $20, we'll cut out this clip and send it to you and you can make it your ringtone.
Right. Only $20? That's a steal.
Listen, I'll give you $50 to just cut it out, period, so he doesn't get credit.
I don't know. We can totally be bought.
And I'll give you $100 if you say one for my wife. Okay. So it all comes around.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a treat.
Let's do the military minute.
Yes. So bear with us one more second, y'all. We are going to play the military minute. If you don't mind, it is a fun little game we like to play.
Eye of the beholder, even if it's connected to your Bluetooth. Yep.
Yes. Different kind of eye of the beholder. So last week's question on military
and
minute.
And they can answer this question.
You can answer this if you know it. Which country music artist? We have country music fans in the house. Yes. No. Maybe.
Nothing? Nothing.
If I get the answer yes, then yes.
Right. Yeah.
I don't listen to this stuff. Don't touch it. Which country music artist recorded the song Some Gave All, and what year was it released? It was a twofer.
Was it Toby Keith who did that?
No.
Go. Was it Kenny Chesney?
No.
No. Go a little bit further. He's got a daughter.
Think mullet.
He's got a daughter that's a musical artist as well.
Willie Nelson.
No,
what's her name? Hannah Montana's dad.
It's Hannah Montana's dad, right?
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yes.
I'm sure Miley loves the fact that she's still Hannah.
Yeah. Yes, Billy Ray Cyrus, 1992. So
that's the answer.
Audience, if you answered that and got the name and the year right, watch for your name and you will potentially win $50 for yourself and $50 for a charity of your choice. So this week's Military Minute takes us to a question that you might have to go research on the website. We've talked about it a few times, ivmf.syracuse.edu. Yes. Mm-hmm. What is the acronym STRIVE? If you think you know, or you think you can consult the website or your friend Google.
Do they both look confident? They look confident, don't they?
They do. They're nodding their heads.
Yeah.
When you see this episode drop, comment your answer and then watch for us to, if you get the right answer, put your name out there and you could be entered to win $50 for you and $50 for a charity of your choice. It's a full circle moment. Yes. Thank you again, both Mike and Dwayne. Thank you for letting us overstay our welcome just a little bit today. It was a treat to meet you both. You're a pleasure and to learn about.
They're doing great work too.
They are. To learn about IVMF and OVMA and the good work you're doing together there at Syracuse University.
And let's call this a teaser for people to want to go find out more because there is so much more to learn about.
We could do a multi-part series on this, I think, for sure.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, go out to afbank.com and subscribe to the show. Also, make sure to rate us or leave us a comment on your favorite podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify and YouTube. Oh, I forgot to say if you enjoyed today's episode as much as Mike and Dwayne did, right?
Yeah. I don't think anybody can enjoy this episode as more as me and Mike. What do you think, Mike?
I appreciate being invited. I know that we're still on, you know, but thank you for the opportunity. You know, my colleagues are always happy to come and join as well. And I appreciate you allowing us to be collegial in our fun. And thanks for letting us join and share our story.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Awesome.
Happy to do it. Thank you both.
Thank you both.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Copyright Armed Forces Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All non-Armed Forces Bank-owned apps, websites, company names, and product names are trademarks or registered trademarks of their respective owners. Their mention does not imply any affiliation with or endorsement by Armed Forces Bank of them or their products and services. They are merely used as examples of the many available apps, companies, and websites that offer similar services. Before using any app or website, you should carefully review the terms of use, data collection, and privacy policy. Apps may have an initial cost or in-application purchase features. This information is general in nature and is not intended to be legal, tax, or financial advice. Although Armed Forces Bank believes this information to be accurate, it cannot ensure that it could change. Statements or opinions of individuals referenced herein are their own, not Armed Forces Bank. Consult an appropriate professional concerning your specific situation and respective governing bodies for applicable laws, such as IRS.gov for current tax law. Armed Forces Bank, the Armed Forces Bank logo, and the Militarily Speaking logo are registered trademarks of Armed Forces Bank.